you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's raising the vibration. It's right here on the Live Paranormal Network. Who would want to be anywhere else? I'm your host, Sheena Metal, and I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. And, of course, this show every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time at liveparanormal.com and at raisingthevibrationradio.com. Raising the Vibration, the radio show, is an outreach of my nonprofit movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity, which is at raisingthevibration.org. This show started in 2017 after I founded that movement on November 9th of 2016. It was the first thing we did with a baby movement that we didn't know what to do. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 26-year talk radio host. So when I'm not sure what to do, I create a radio show around it. That's how I roll. Every week on this show, four words come to mind, in addition to peace, love, kindness, unity, and raising the vibration. Those four words are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. Do you like how my cat accentuated every one of those words after I said it? Look, if the cat says it, people, then it has to be true. This is what Raising the Vibration is about. It's about ascension, your ascension, my ascension, everyone's ascension. It's about evolvement, becoming higher, loving, wonderful, enlightened beings. It's about inspiration. Now that you have found that enlightenment and that evolvement, what are you doing to make the world a better place? What are you doing to inspire those around you? And then, of course, the word I doubled up, love, because love is all there is. All you need is love, and there can't be enough love in the world. I am a creature born of love and in service to spread love everywhere. And so I bring on every week what I consider to be the most lovely, brightest, most beautiful souls that I know that are all about passion, that are all about give back, about service, and about doing what they can every day to raise the vibration. And my guest today is certainly no exception. She was the guest on the very first Raising the Vibration that we did here back in February on the Live Paranormal Network. And she is also on the advisory board for my raisingthevibration.org movement. And she is just an amazing author, speaker, cater, spiritual person, paranormal survivor. She probably hates that I use that term. She probably would rather I use paranormal thriver. And she's just fantastic. So please welcome to the show. As always, my beloved friend, Andrea Perrin, is here. Hi, darling. How are you? It's so good to have you here.
Oh, I'm so great. It's just been a wonderful day. I made the most out of just a crazy day. It was just nuts. I spent about 9 or 10 hours on the phone today. Yeah.
Did you make lemonade out of lemons?
Well, there were no lemons. Yeah. It was all lemonade, and it all came to me very sweetly. And I've got, you know me, I've always got like 3 or 4 projects, you know, going at one time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not letting no stinking pandemic get in the way of what I'm doing in the world. And in fact,
sure, you and me both,
you know, yeah, you know, and the thing is that if there was ever a time that people needed outreach to folks that were all about light and love and raising the vibration and lifting them out of the anguish and the despair and the fear of this, it's us and it's now. And
agreed.
So I do my part every day. I reach out to as many people as I can. I answer as many messages as I can. This is how busy my day was. I just opened my computer 10 minutes ago.
Wow.
So when we finish the show tonight, I will, you know, answer my messages and, and reach out to anybody that's in need and do that thing that we do. And it actually comes to me with great ease because I love these people. And if we're in, then I'm suffering. And if there's any way that I can help, then I want to. So it doesn't leave me a whole lot of downtime or personal time, but that's
yeah,
all right.
Both.
You know, it's like, who needs what, when, how can I help? And it's I consider it a privilege. I absolutely do. I did get to talk to my mom today for quite a while, which was delightful.
Oh, nice. That's some downtime. That's private life time.
Yep, it is. And I do talk to her every day. If I'm not with her, I talk to her every day. But today
I
we actually
to
had
day,
an
so.
Extra long. I know you do. I know. And I know she answers you.
I talk
you.
To her every single day. And now that she's in spirit, I talk to her more than that. Now she doesn't, because when she used to always say, I was going to call you, but I was worried you were busy. Not now. Now she doesn't give a shit if I'm busy. Now that she's in spirit, she just comes in when she wants with advice. And boy, has she had a lot of that lately. I think kind of an interesting thing happened to me over the last week.
Well, tell me.
From time to time, as you know, I will do what I like to call a purge, where I will really, really clean up how I eat and double my water. And it you always go through this kind of thing, and it makes me really understand why Indigenous people fasted for spiritual clarity. Because let me tell you something about cutting sugars out of your system. You suddenly realize everything in your life that you love and everything in your life that's got to go. And it's interesting, you know, I don't drink and I don't smoke and I don't drug, so I don't even drink coffee. So, and I haven't had caffeine since 2016. So it's interesting how there, we still find those things, right, to blanket the direct connection from spirit, because maybe we don't want all those messages 24/7. So I've been on this kind of crazy enlightenment, psychotic fast since Friday. So this is what, day five? And, man, I'm tripping. And I'll tell you, the messages are coming in so fast. I mean, I always get loads of messages from spirit for other people because I work with clients all day long. But the messages coming in for me in the last 5 days, I mean, you know, get a book and start writing. I got to get a journal, start writing it down. I'm typing notes to myself so fast. So I say that because I think that now that we're in a place, I mean – most people across in the world right now are less busy than they were for some reason or another since the pandemic broke out, right? I'm busier with my practice, my spiritual practice, but I'm less busy as far as going out and doing things, and my entertainment life is less busy. In some way in your life, you're less busy now than you were. You're less busy, Andrea, because you're not going to as many conventions and flying all over the world.
Right.
So this is the time, right, to do the work inside yourself. This is the time for the spirit time, for making the time to connect to your mother, for doing the things you need to do, for cleaning the closets out inside of you that need to be kind of cleaned out. And it's interesting because I, you know, I'm a person who, like you, right, when I'm in pain or I'm suffering in some way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, I just push it down and keep going. Because to me, nothing gets in the way of my service, right? But as I was in a car accident in December, and I've been in healing massage, therapeutic massage, and chiropractic for a couple of months, and I am noticing that as my wonderful therapeutic massage healer opens up different areas in my body that have pain in them, in those areas out come a bunch of stuff that I haven't dealt with. And we think we've dealt with everything, right? But there's still stuff in there. And I told her yesterday when she was doing this, I said, you know, it's, I kind of feel like my body is like a hoarder house. Like, I think it's all clean, and then I find another room where there's, like, shit stacked to the ceiling. And I think that we, you know, we never, I mean, we need to remember that life is a process. This human experience is a process, and it, we never stop cleaning out those closets, right? The house is never finished. There's always more stuff to work through and more stuff to address. And it's okay to feel like it's never going to end because it's not supposed to end. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep, entirely.
And that's how I rant when I'm not on sugar of any kind. But, you know, so I think it's for me, it was time to take care of me because I take care of everybody else first, which is, I think, mm-hmm. what service is, right? But sometimes you got to stop and take care of you. So how are you taking care of you?
I have gotten more sleep in the last year than I did in the previous 10 combined.
Yay!
I mean, really. I mean, I'll get up at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning, which is like noon compared to how I used to be. I don't sleep a lot at night. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning virtually every night. I go outside. I have a little tete-a-tete with the Galactic family. I take my little doggy
yep.
out in case she's got anything going on. And, you know, the moon, the last couple of nights, the moon has just been beyond stunning. And so I've been doing some moon communing just, you know, talking things out with the Galactic family because, you know, I've had some issues in the last year, a little temper tantrum kind of going on with them, like, get your asses down here now. Do you not see how screwed we are? If there was ever a time that we needed you, this would be the time that we need you now. Get down here now. And, you know, and I know not to do that. I know that they're all around us. I know they're doing to... In very subtle ways, raise the vibration of the planet and being in touch with individuals, you know, not like mass, you know, it's not like they all walk out on stage and take a bow at once, you know, that's not how this is working. And they're the ones that hold, you know, the balls in their court. They get to decide, when they show themselves, how they show themselves, to whom they show themselves. And so I'm supposed to do my part, and I am an official introducer. I am one of these people that introduces other people to the Galactic family. And so when I have my little occasional meltdown, when I get very anxiety ridden, I keep getting the exact same message from them. And, you know, because I talk to them about, you know, I know that this is the paradigm shift. This is it. I know. We're in the midst of it. The paradigm shift, for those who don't understand the phraseology about this, is in its simplest form, the time when everything changes and nothing is ever the same again. You know, it changes, a transformation from this to that. And that's
sure.
where we are at right now.
Absolutely.
You know, the people talk about the new normal after 9/11. They have no idea what this newest normal is going to look like. And we're just a fraction of the way through it. There are still many deaths to come. There are many traumas to be had. There are many issues to be resolved. There is still a lot of toxic stuff that's rising to the surface to be cleansed. You know, whether it's racial injustice or, you know, what's going on with the trial in Minneapolis right now or what's going on.
Well,
with,
that's racial,
you know,
injustice right there, right? Sure.
Yep, it certainly is. And but we're striving for justice, you know, and as Martin Luther King said, and I paraphrase, you know, the arc is long, but, you know, it bends towards justice. And so, you know, it's been... a huge year plus for me in terms of that. And the message that I always get when I throw one of my little, you know, things, my hissy fits, and that only comes to me out of fear that we are not capable, we the human race are not capable of solving our own problems. I know better. Of course we are. If we created them, we can solve them. So I know that, but every now and then I have a little tiny bit of a meltdown and I get anxious and I get frustrated and I tell them, get down here. And the answer that I get comes in almost not a voice that I recognize, and certainly internal in my head, but it's always the same, and it's exactly this. So you thought this would be easy?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think it was going to be easy. I didn't think it was going to be easy. If anybody on this planet should have been prepared for what was coming in terms of the paradigm shift, it should have been me. And I went into, it leveled me. It leveled me. For the first two months, the day that the national emergency was declared, I was shooting a film at the house that I grew up at. And, you know, I got on a plane the next day and there was nobody on the plane.
Right, and that was my mother's death anniversary. My mother's death anniversary is official COVID day, and her birthday is the day that we elected Donald Trump. So I just want you to know that my mom used to say, all the while she was alive, I feel so bad for those people whose birthdays are Pearl Harbor Day or 9/11. Mm-hmm. And my mom got the whammy of unrest and fear and uprising coming and going, the poor thing. But yeah, isn't that that's official COVID day, right? I mean, it was. I don't think we all and by then I was just getting over it. But
yes,
at that
time,
you didn't think you could have COVID, because if you had COVID, you have to be on a respirator. So I didn't think there was any way I could have had it because I wasn't on a respirator. And it's interesting because this show, you know, that I do every Tuesday at 5 Pacific, and Haunted Playground that you've been on, I do every Wednesday at 6 Pacific. Now I move both those shows over here to the Live Paranormal Network. You know, the poster advertises one thing, but you'd be surprised how much of those shows every week my guest wants to talk about what's happened to us because of COVID. And I think that, you know, it is a spiritual crisis. It is deeply embedded in our sensory spiritual DNA that our life has changed forever. And those of us that survive this will always be different for having survived it.
Right. We will. And it has raised so many other issues. It has raised so much. You know, I look at, okay, just without getting, you know, deep into politics, I have to say this one thing. And this is how I feel. I look at the election last year, and I realize that the reason why we are rid of Trump and we have Joe Biden is because a black man named Clyburn stood up and said, "You might not know Joe, but Joe knows us." And everything changed. Everything changed when Jim Clyburn said those words. Everything. In one sentence, everything changed. And what ultimately happened, and I speak only my opinion here, but I see this way. What ultimately happened is the people who were once enslaved by this country saved this country.
I agree with that. I agree with that, and I'll tell you something else, and I'm not in any way disregarding the importance of fixing systemic racism in our country in any way, and I'm not getting political either. But I will say that as we work on things like racism, bigotry, misogyny, homophobia, classism, as we work on those things on a three-dimensional level, we have to remember that in the 5D, in the spiritual, there is really only one problem, and it's darkness versus light.
That's exactly right.
And the tricky thing about that is that there are people who are doing dark things that are Republicans, Democrats, God-fearing people, atheists, gay, straight. You know what I mean? And that's the hard thing. Is that even after we get this sorted out and we figure everything out and we get people all their rights, it's not going to fix the problem on our quest for world peace until we eliminate the darkness and we find a way to put those that are doing dark things in their place. And that doesn't mean in prison or send them to Alcatraz, although I'm very open to the Alcatraz idea. But it means that we need to stop allowing those who do dark things to infiltrate our own beings emotionally, physically, spiritually, and stop allowing them to knock us down. I mean, you don't know, I'm sure you do know, but I could tell you, I'm going to say it, in my practice, how many people are suffering or have suffered at the hands of a narcissist, whether it's a parent, a sibling, a friend, a spouse. Sometimes they have a whole list of them.
Yes,
and this
because
to
they're
me
attracting that, because if that's what they grew up with in their family, then that's what they're attracting, because that's all that they know.
Right. And I'm not excusing racism, because if you're a racist, honestly, go fuck yourself. But what I am saying is, I thought you might like that, Andrea. But what I am saying is,
one of my favorite words, honey.
I know. I knew you would like it that I said that about racists. That I usually don't say that on the air, but sometimes you got it.
I know.
Somewhere, and I'm not saying, oh, racist people are just ignorant and they don't know better. Yes, they are ignorant. If they don't know better, they should, because we have a thing called the internet and they should know better.
Yeah.
But it's not that. What I am saying is that somewhere there is darkness, and it's twisting its mustache and adjusting its bowler hat and laughing that everybody is at each other's throats.
Yes, it
and
is.
And that is
you
the
know,
biggest issue.
It really is. And that's really ultimately, as we make our spiritual ascension out of 3D through 4D into 5D and beyond, as we make this painful, deliberate ascension spiritually, what comes of this, and you and I have talked about this ad nauseum privately and on the air, but this is a process that each individual goes through. It's not static. It's not vertical. It's horizontal, you know, so it's not like we're climbing a ladder and I'm above you and he's above me. And, you know, that's not what it is. You know, this is all a journey. And the journey itself is the destination. So as we ascend literally and figuratively through 3D into 4D into 5D and beyond, what is happening is that we cumulatively, slowly and immeasurably, but inextricably are bound to a new idea, which is our old reality, which is that there is one race. There is one human race. And as we each tap into the unified field of consciousness and understand that the realization of oneness is all that matters, because the realization of oneness is love, then all the hatred, the vitriol, the blamism, the finger-pointing, the all of that will begin to subside. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't stand firmly for justice and accountability, because, oh, hell, yes, I do. Yes, I do. However, I also believe in this lovely thing called karma. And I think that, you know, that it is the perpetual conflict of good versus evil, light versus darkness. You know, they would be indistinguishable without each other. There is a reason for the yin and the yang. There is a reason that, you know, in our field of action on this planet throughout the course of human history, that this perpetual struggle has existed. But as I look back over the course of recorded human history, there has never been a time where ultimately good did not triumph over evil, because if it had not, none of us would be here anymore.
None of us or would. We would be a planet just ruled by darkness. I mean, it would really be I don't know what to say, a devil planet. That's never a better way to say it. But it would be
those that want to kill off humanity, i.e. the Crusades, you know, that would have been a successful venture, you know, and instead of killing 10 million, because 10 million women, mostly women, that were identified as a witch, 10 million women. that they can, you know, basically count were killed because somebody called them a witch. And they weren't just killed.
Yeah.
They were tortured. They were raped. They were drawn and quartered. They were burned alive.
Yeah.
They were drowned. They were, you know, I mean, nobody, their death was the mercy, you know, and I mean, man's inhumanity to man is what we have to address.
Yes.
It's what we have to
yes.
confront, and it's what we have to conquer. And I don't think that there's anything that is cognitive dissonance about calling oneself a spiritual warrior for peace, because I'm mad as hell most of the time.
You are.
And I'm
you're
a very peaceful, loving person. I know.
Yeah, but you're...
I know, because there's a lot to be pissed off about.
I agree, baby. But this is the thing. This is the thing in me, and for people who are listening going, oh, holy, that's too much to take on. Jesus, Andrea. I have to say that I can't be angry, because if I'm angry, then I shut down and nothing gets done.
Oh, no, not
so
me. I burn it as jet fuel. Oh,
okay.
I do. It's
yeah.
like nitroglycerin
right.
for me.
Annie's going to scorch
oh,
the earth. Unfortunately,
I hear
if it. I get angry, I just go into AFib and then I'm laying in a bed for a week. It's just to
I,
me,
I
it's
know.
Not
no,
worth
see,
it.
That's not good. I'll be angry for you, sweetheart.
Okay.
It's okay.
You be angry
me and the
for
cat.
Me, and I'm going to be optimistic for you. I can't.
Okay.
I have to stay in a place. And it's funny because I have these discussions all the time with all the closest people in my life, including you. Why don't you cut that person off? Why don't you call that person and tell them to fuck off? Why don't you block that person on Facebook? Well, here's the lowdown. I do cut people off. I just don't tell them. Cut you off, I just energetically go away. You know, like a wispy ghost in an old house. I just go, woo, and disappear, and you can't see
me
anymore.
I just float into another room or a realm. Yeah, or a dimension.
I don't call you and tell you to go screw yourself, because it just gives you attention. And then you can crawl up on your cross and swing back and forth. And it's a very bad time with Good Friday being on Friday. And say, oh,
I know.
Sheena's such a bad person.
And
then
and
everybody
I'm such
goes,
a
oh.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody goes,
yeah.
oh, dark-souled person, I feel so bad for you. And then more people get sucked into the lair. So that's why I don't do that.
Yeah.
And I don't block and unfriend, because it's the same thing. If they go to call you and they see they're blocked, then if they can crawl up on the cross, what you do is you let them. And if they text me, I'll text them back in a couple weeks and be like, oh, hey, sorry, I just saw this. I was busy. Hope you're well. Because what are they going to do then? They got nothing to go on. So I stay
right
in the middle of it. And I, like, part in the Red Sea, I navigate those weirdos because
I do that too. I don't block anybody. I don't, you know, I just kind of go quiet. You know, and I've told people, I love you dearly, but I have to love you from a safe distance, which for me right now is the other side of the universe. But if we come back around in our revolution and our evolution, I had a woman call me that I had a blowout with 4 or 5 years ago that was ugly, beyond ugly. I mean, it was just beyond ugly. It was horrible. And she called me a couple of months ago. She called me. And I didn't recognize the number, but it was from Iowa. And I have friends in Iowa, and I thought, oh, great, somebody's changed their phone again. So I answered the number, and she said, do you recognize my voice? And I was like, oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh.
I didn't say that.
And did the horses all go up like in Young Frankenstein?
Yeah, you know. But she identified herself, and I said, oh, my God, how are you? And we hadn't spoken in more than 4 years. And she said, oh, my God, I can't believe you took my call. And I again reiterated, how are you, dear? And she said, I'm just calling to find out how much forgiveness you have in your heart. And I said, well, let me tell you, I rescued this little dog. Oh, my God, she's the center of my universe. You know, and I start going off about my little dog and how much I love my little dog. And I hope her little dog's okay. And I talked to her for about 20 or 30 minutes. and we never discussed what broke us apart, shattered us in the first place, which was the 2016 election. And subject did not come up. I will never let that subject come up with her again. I never will. But I was kind and embracing, and we parted that conversation with love. She was so grateful. And I'll tell you what, that was so important about it. I, in that moment, instead of, you know, rearing up like the horses or, you know, withdrawing, I just gave her an open door back in. And, I mean, she cried. She cried and she couldn't bring herself to apologize for what she said that had fractured the friendship. And I don't even know if she remembers what she said that fractured it, but that didn't matter. That was light years ago. And, you know, we've all been through so much, and I had to sit there and just how much courage it took for her to pick up the phone and call me, the chance that I would reject her, the chance that I would just kick her to the curb, that as soon as I heard who it was, I would hang up the phone. You know, I mean, that was all conceivable. That was a huge risk that she took to call me. And it required a great deal of personal courage. And so, you know, I'm okay with let bygones be bygones. And, you know, will I ever trust her again? Maybe not. Will I ever feel the same kind of closeness to her that I once did? Most likely I won't, but I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not. And I gave her that open door, and I welcomed her back in with open arms. And not only did it heal her, it healed me.
Yeah. You know, I did that with a friend, but I was the one who did it. I mean, I wasn't the one who went away, but I went back. And so how do I tell this story in the most succinct way, Andrea? In 2019, I used to always say to myself, I mean, look, I don't pick fights with people. I don't engage in fights. I stay under the radar. If you have something mean to say, I don't say anything back. I just take it and move away. But all of a sudden, at about like 2014, 2015, suddenly, in my friend circle, I remember saying to myself, I don't know what's going on. I don't ever have problems with people. And what is happening? You know, great. You're never psychic with your own life, right? So in 2019, I realized that there was a person in my periphery that I thought was one of my dearest friends who had systematically caused problems throughout my friend and acquaintance circle for 5 years. And everything led back to that person. And the way I found out was this person did a dumb thing, because narcissists always undo themselves, right? And they picked a fight with me, and then I saw everything. And I went, wait a minute, that sounds like the fight I had with her and the one I had with him and the problem with them.
Yep.
So I went back and did what I called a hatchet-bearing tour, and I wrote down everybody that I thought I had lost because of this person. And I went back and I started sending out emails and saying, look, I don't care who did what to who. Let's just put this past us. And one of those was a very, very, very dear friend that I had lost during the election. And so I'm very aware of where she stands, and she's very aware of where I stand. And I don't think that needs to get in the middle of our friendship. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't agree with me, but when somebody's very, very, you know, I don't have any biological family. So my only family are my friends. And when you're really close to somebody, you know, you miss that. And technically, you know, now had I found out she was the one who was causing the trouble, that never would have happened. And I have never buried the hatchet with the narcissist, and then there's a couple people out there that I would never do that with, because I know that they're spiritually cancerous, right? The only two times in my life I've ever blocked anybody on my Facebook page was because they were using being able to get onto my page to make complaints to Facebook to get my page shut down. And I had to block them out so they couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
But I've never blocked anybody else, including that narcissist is also not blocked, because it's just not worth it. It just draws too much attention. But yeah, yes. I went and did it myself. I made the calls like that woman made to you. Even though mostly in every instance, these people had just disappeared from my life because I knew mm-hmm. that they had been hoodwinked by someone. And that was kind of mm-hmm. my point on the racism, right? I think some yeah. people are just full-on bigots, and there's nothing you can do about it, and nothing will ever change it. But I think a lot of people are very fear-based and very insecure
yes.
and very mm-hmm. spiritually ignorant, and they allow other people who are narcissists and full of darkness to convince them that they have to hate mm-hmm. this person, that person, these people, because otherwise the world will end for them. The world as they know it will end.
Yes.
When I said the thing about eradicating darkness, I really believe that if we ever got to the place where we just kicked them out, I don't know that that's possible with the balance of the universe between light and dark, but if we ever could, I think that would fix racism and homophobia and bigotry and misogyny and classism, and because that bad influence around the corner and the internet, right? I love my internet because it's done a lot of beautiful things, but it's also in that instance made it very bad because the internet
yeah.
allows one person to put a nasty thought out there and then it just grows like a weed.
Yeah. But on the other hand, a thought that is pure of heart and light and love and
right.
filled with integrity also
right.
spreads like wildfire. I mean, look at my Buttercup Brigade page. I mean,
absolutely.
It's just love and love and more love, and everybody supports each other. And the thing that I love most about it is that the people on that page have all become friends with each other. And, you know,
yeah,
it's a relatively small group. You know, it's only mm-hmm. like 2,500 people. And, you know, I've got 20,000 people on my main page and I don't know how many on my other pages. And, you know, but Buttercup is still kind of small. It attracts a certain kind of person and predominantly
yeah.
women, but not exclusively. And,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is a place where if somebody's in pain, if somebody's having trouble, if somebody's suffering, oh my God, there they are. You know, I mean, they can go and put a single post up there and the outpouring of love and affection and support is overwhelming. I mean, there's times that I'll check in with the page and I just sit in front of my computer and cry. I mean, it's just so sweet and such kindness. And, you know, you can feel from every single post that's made that every person that took a moment to read the other person's comment and then respond, they meant it. And it's it gives me hope for the future to know that there is so much out there that is pure of heart, that there are so many people, regardless of their own struggles, will take a moment to lift someone else up, even if it's someone they have never met, except for they're on the Buttercup Brigade page, you know, and that's it, you know, and we never
yeah.
have to boot anybody for misbehaving or, you know, or anything like that. I mean, it's just, it's a lovely place in cyberspace for people to gather. And you have provided that same kind of an environment on the internet for people at a time when pretty much all we've got is the internet and the telephone. And that's pretty much it, because we're living in an age right now where if you really love somebody, you need to stay the hell away from them until you are completely vaccinated and they are completely vaccinated. And the time will come when we can come back together again and I can go back out and do events and you can go back out and do events and, we, you know, we can come together again. And oh, what an appreciation we are going to have for each other and for our ability to commune in that way on the other side of this.
I got to tell you, I went to my favorite local crystal shop today, and
mm-hmm.
it was packed. In the middle of the day on a weekday, there were probably 30 people in there. I mean, it was packed. So,
is it the shop in Malibu?
No, but I love
them all.
It's a
crystal shop in Malibu.
Okay. No, I love the crystal shop in Malibu, too. Now, this place is out on Ventura Boulevard past Topanga Canyon.
Okay.
And I was so happy to see how busy it was. because it's nice to see people out. I understand people don't want to be out. I understand why, but it's nice to see people starting to feel safe enough to go out again.
Yes, it is. It's wonderful.
You know, I think sometimes people think that, I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say I get my second vaccine on April 6th. So I'm looking forward to my own personal liberation, too, 2 weeks later.
Good. Good for you. That's fantastic. You get your first or your second?
My second.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So
and I can't say
there.
Enough nice things about FEMA. I can't even say enough nice things about FEMA. They've got a site set up here in Central Florida that is second to none. I mean, it is a smooth, oiled, running machine of, you know, thousands and thousands of people going through and getting jabbed in the arm and, you know, getting their little cards and getting their second date set up. And I think I thanked like 150 members of the military during the time that I went through my little excursion through the tents and came out on the other side. And Dad had already gotten his at the VA. He had gotten both of his shots. So he was outside in the car waiting with the Peanut, my little doggie. And, you know, I came out with tears in my eyes. I was like, this is great. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you ever in a million years think we would feel like getting a vaccine was our civic duty?
Yeah.
But it's become badge of honor.
It is. It really is. And down here, Staples is when you get your second shot and your little card is all filled out and it's, you know, finalized. They're laminating them for people for free. I think is a very nice service to do. Yep.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful because we're going to need to use those. Pretty soon they're going to tell you can't fly unless you've got one.
That's right. You can't get on a cruise ship. You certainly can't use your passport without it. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
That's absolutely coming.
We might
as well just prepare for it.
I am not vaccinated because I've decided to let people that needed it more than me go first because I already had it.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as
they opened it up to my age group.
People.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm a little older than you are. So they opened it up to anybody 60 and above about two, three weeks ago. So,
when it gets to the point where everybody I know who really needs one has had theirs, then I'll head out and go do it.
Yeah, it's great. Uh-huh. And it didn't hurt a bit, and I didn't have any side effects. And I encourage everybody to do it. It's the most important thing that we can do, and it's nothing short of a medical miracle. You know, thankfully, the scientific community was working on coronaviruses, you know, prior to the pandemic. And so when they had a novel coronavirus, they just had to figure out a way to attack it. And the vaccines work a little differently in terms of how they attack it. But I went with the Pfizer because it had the highest efficacy. And I'm very often out in crowds of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And so, you know, it's like a constant deluge of people and more people. And, you know, I can't not have contact with these folks. So, and all the events that I am attending, and I'm only attending 5 this year. There's a prerequisite to being vaccinated before you can even come. So
I'm sure we're going to see that 10 public events. I'm absolutely sure we're going to see that.
Yep. Flash your CDC card, kids, because, you know, it's just how life is going to be now. And that's going to be something that we keep in our wallets the same way that we keep our driver's license in our wallets. You know, it's just going to become a part of life. And I have no qualms about that at all. I don't feel like my freedom has been infringed upon. In fact, I feel that wearing a mask is wearing, you know, I wear it like a badge of honor. I put it out to let people know that I take this virus seriously, you know, even if I'm not contagious and I'm not going to spread this to anybody else, that doesn't matter. It speaks to the general population that this is important. This is something to take seriously, and I care as much about you, my neighbor, or you, a stranger at public supermarket, than I care about myself. You know, and that's what it says to me. I don't think of it as, you know, how this even got politicized. I will never be able to wrap my head around. I never will. but, you know, it has been, and now slowly but surely, I think it is sinking into the general population that this is something that we need to do for each other, and it is a selfless act, and it is a loving act, and so the more I wear that mask out, and I always have a big smile, what I do is I put lipstick on, and then I kiss the outside of the mask, and then I put the mask on, so it looks, so I've got kind of like a kissy face on my mask all the time, which is ridiculous, but it makes me laugh and it makes me feel, you know, good about, you know, having on those rare occasions that I do need to be out in public. But mostly I've been very, very much at home. I practice solitude as a religion. My quiet time is my most creative time. It's when I do that, you know, the depth and the breadth of my writing. So it hasn't been a big adjustment for me. You know, just coming off the road has been odd, because I used to do anywhere from 15 to 20 large events a year. And last year I did one in January, and that was it. But in the interim, so many wonderful things have opened up for me, and it has given me, you know, I think I spoke to you briefly about this on the last show that we did together, but 25 years ago, I worked on a campus, a school, a private school, for behaviorally disordered adolescent boys. Some would call it a reform school, but that's not politically correct. It was a school where these kids could not be handled in public school. It was a closed campus, and the kids were really tough, and I was one of 300 people that worked on that campus. And I worked as a therapeutic counselor. So I worked with clinicians. I worked with the psychiatrists, the nursing staff, the teachers, we worked as a cohesive unit of people to care for these boys and to help them get through their problems and to be able to reintegrate into society in a more meaningful and productive way. And out of everybody on that campus, I was chosen to become the grief counselor. And I don't know why I was chosen, but the CEO of the organization called me into his office and asked me if I would like to do the training and to become the campus grief counselor, so that when any of these kids, you know, lost a member of their family or suffered a trauma that they needed to work through, that I would be the one that helped them do that. And I readily agreed to do that, and went through all the training, and I served in that capacity for many years. And I often wondered why. And now, during the age of COVID, I know precisely why. Because what I trained for 25 years ago prepared me entirely for what I've been doing for a solid year, which is helping many hundreds of people who have lost. One of my producers in L.A., his family were anti-vaxxers, anti-COVID, anti-this-doesn't-even-exist people. And his whole family got together over Thanksgiving to celebrate the holiday, and there were like 42 of them that got together to celebrate Thanksgiving, and 16 of them were dead by Christmas.
Wow.
And, I mean, he's devastated. He can't even function for the loss that he incurred. His father, his uncles, his nieces, his siblings, his nephews, you know, I mean, gone. Some of them as young as 20 years old, gone. And because they were, you know, COVID deniers. And and his father wouldn't even speak to him when he was hospitalized, and wouldn't even speak to him because he refused to come to Thanksgiving with the family. He stayed home in his apartment, hunkered down, safe, and his father died without them being able to make amends. And his father died arguing with the anesthesiologist and the doctor who were getting ready to intubate him, trying with his last breath to scream at them that this must be something else. It couldn't be COVID. COVID doesn't exist. And he has to live with that knowledge for the rest of his life. Well, imagine how much time I've spent on the phone with him, just trying to help him through that.
I'm
That's just one of hundreds of people that I have spoken to over this last year.
Yeah,
so, and I know
so
you have too,
the,
sweetheart.
Yeah, the weeks or so, weeks and months after the official COVID announcement, so much of my practice and so much of my live videos, you know, at 9 o'clock on Tuesday nights, I do I Am Raising Your Vibration, which is a little web series for the Life Paranormal video channel, and I do free psychic readings. But I just throw the psychic readings out there as an excuse to reel people into my healing circle. It's my master plan. But, yeah, so many people, do I have COVID? Do I have COVID? Is this person going to get COVID? Is that person going to get COVID? I mean, it was all people were thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and all we need to do is just protect ourselves. They are. And, you know, the thing is, sweetheart, this is legitimate fear. This is. I mean, this leveled the playing field unlike anything else in any of our lives ever has. When a novel coronavirus emerges that no one has any kind of immunity to, we are all equally susceptible to the ravages of this disease. And this is an insidious, extraordinarily intelligent virus that can host in one person and infect hundreds of others without the host ever having a single symptom. You know, this is a remarkable thing that has happened, and it should be a wake-up call for all of humanity. And it certainly has been a spiritual call. And if there was ever a time, you know, when I speak about spirit and having grown up at the farm and seeing what I've seen in my life and knowing what I know, you know, it brings people great comfort to know that the person that they lost, that they could not say goodbye to while they were on a ventilator, they can still talk to them now, and they will be heard, and they will answer them. And spirit is real. Spirit is real. And it's just, you know, just because it's as invisible as the air that we draw into our lungs to keep us alive doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Right. Absolutely. And a connection with someone who has passed can be as beautiful and as visceral as a connection with a living person. I mean, sometimes even more so, because all of their hurt is gone, their pain is gone, their isms are gone.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole different thing. And I thought I wouldn't live beyond my mother's death. And if anything, we have as wonderful a relationship now as we ever did. So,
they're
not gone. They're just somewhere else. It's like talking to a friend on the internet. It's not an end. It's just somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's so important that we know that we acknowledge that, and that we don't live in fear. And even in fear of our own death, this is not the end. You know, if we die, we will go forward. My only fear of death is that I will leave my messy house for someone else to have to sort through. And I'm sure that person will curse me into the next life. Yeah, that's the only thing that I fear.
Like I had to do with my sister. Oh, my God, what she left behind for us to deal with. You can't even imagine. She was a hoarder extraordinaire. And yet, from her hoarding, the precious little gifts that we each got as we went through her things, and found she never parted with anything. And I mean, I'm sitting here in my man cave right now, aka my office, and everywhere I look is a sign of April. Everywhere I look, here she is. Here she is, including a little tiny urn of some of her ashes on my desk.
Nice.
You know,
nice.
And it's been four years. Yep, it's been 4 years, and I'm finally at a point, where I smile before I cry.
Yeah, I know, it's been so hard on you, sweetheart. It's it does get easier every year. I promise you, I'm a year ahead of you, almost to the day, right? It does it does get easier. It never goes away. Sometimes, like, you know, I'm moving into her home, and planning to live there most of the time, and just be in LA. You know, when I have to be here for work, at my home up here. And, man, just being surrounded by her stuff and where she lived, and I just the way that it smells at the ocean when the sun is setting, makes me think about her and miss her so much. So that's been something that's a room inside of my body that I've had to clean out in my soul during COVID. Because I think that in the beginning, you don't want to touch it. You just want everything the way it is.
Yes.
You don't want to go through those memories and start thinking about them.
You just want to breathe through it. Right. Breathe through it and leave everything undisturbed. Yep.
Absolutely. Sweetheart, you're a marvel. I appreciate you doing this. I appreciate you popping in last minute for me today because my guest is on set and couldn't be here. And I think you are wonderful. Where can people find you online? And let's do this again. I love you.
I love you too. I'm everywhere. Just Google my name. I'm all over Facebook. Come to the Buttercup Brigade or just Andrea Perrin or House of Darkness, houseoflight.com is my website. I'm everywhere. Just Google my name. You can find me.
Okay. And one thing I wanted to say really quick before we have to go is that I think the reason the off-worlders have not come back and done anything to interfere is the same reason that, you know, people don't go in and move the ants around in the ant farm. We have to learn for ourselves how to evolve through this.
Yes. Yep, we do. We have to crack our own way out of our shell. We do.
Right. And if we don't, then they'll come down and laser all of us. But they're trying to give us a shot.
They are. Oh, God bless you, sweetheart.
Thank you, my friend.
I love you dearly.
I love
okay,
you too, honey.
Take care. Well,
thank you for this. I appreciate the wonderful Andrea Perrin, everybody. Isn't she fantastic? What a wonderful guest. I am Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. If you're looking to book a private psychic mediumship reading for me or one of the many other things that I do, animal communication, couples, groups, house clearings, anything you can think of, please go to SheenaMetalSpiritual.com or you can send me a text message, 818-437-0886, or an email, Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com. We're here every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time on the Live Paranormal channel at liveparanormal.com, raisingthevibrationradio.com. And you can find us on Facebook at The Live Paranormal and Raising the Vibration Radio. And tonight I will be on the Live Paranormal video channel doing my video web series, I Am Raising Your Vibration, free psychic readings, as many as I can do in the time I'm there. Visit IamRaisingYourVibration.com or send me an email if you would like to be considered for a reading tonight. Until I see you all next time, it is so important to ascend, evolve, inspire, and love, and keep adding peace, love, kindness, unity to your life. That is the key to raising the vibration. I'm Sheena Metal, honored to be a part of the host staff here on the Live Paranormal Network, and I'll see you next week, Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time, for raising the vibration.